Return to Fighters, chapter number 4. Thank you. Proverbs chapter 4, remain standing. Let's read if we can, please. Verse 23 together. Proverbs chapter 4. Thank you very much. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Let's read it out loud together. You ready? Keep thy heart with all diligence. One more time. Just a proverb, some say, but it's very powerful. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Because from the heart comes all the issues of life. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So many things start in the heart. The Bible says music. Many of us have problems with music. We're struggling with the wrong kind of music. You know why? Because music starts in the heart. It starts in the heart. And it's for the Lord. We forget. We let it start in the world. Our aptitude, and we think it's for us. You don't like the music. You say, well, I like this music. Well, no one cares what you like. God, and music starts here, and it's for the Lord. And keep that in mind. That'll help you a lot. But he says, keep your heart. Guard your heart with all diligence. It's not going to be an easy thing. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It's not an easy thing. It'll not be done on spare time and pocket change. Taking care of you. Only you can take care of your walk with the Lord. Only you can take care of your personal holiness and purity. Only you can play the role in your family. But it's going to start in the heart. If you would please take your Bibles down to Hebrews chapter 10. We'll begin in verse number 19. And the Bible says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 10, verse number 20. By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us. By the way, what a great blessing that we've been consecrated and been given. The Lord Jesus Christ with the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Would you read verse 22 with me? Let us draw near with a true heart, full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And verse number 24, read it with me. And let us not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Our Father, thank you for the joy together on this day. I'm humbled, I'm honored, I am overwhelmed with responsibility, but excited that this is your work. These are your young people. These are your great parents and pastors that you allow us to be a small extension of their long investment into the lives of these young people. Thank you for pastors. There's no doubt pastors and pastors' wives, youth pastors, school teachers that are praying for the young people in this room right now, moms and dads begging you to help their kids. Lord, there's a great world that needs a product of a young person who will do the right thing the right way for the right reason and then keep doing it for the rest of their life. I pray you'd help us as we look into the Word of God this morning. May you help me to convey publicly what you showed me privately. And may you be glorified. And Lord, may we glorify you and help others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you very much. And I'd like to just say I'm so honored to be here and to be an extension of the Lord Jesus Christ, your mom, your dad, your pastors, your churches, and all those who God used providentially to bring you to this place. We love you and we're glad you're here. If you're a freshman, would you mind standing for us real quickly? All of our first year students, would you stand all over the room? Those of you, we thank God for every one of you. We're excited about sharing this semester and this year, and we hope this college career with you. We're very thankful that you've chosen to come to Hiles Anderson College. We don't take it lightly. We're very excited. Some of you, I met you when you were 13, 12 years old at youth conferences years ago, and you're here now. Others of you decided last week to come, and we're glad all of you are here. We believe that you're here by divine appointment, and we're very thankful for all of you. Let's give our first-year students a round of applause, and thank you for coming. You may be seated. Those of you who are sophomores, would you please stand real quickly? Our second-year young people, would you stand right here? These are the young people who were standing up last year this time, and now they have a whole year under their belt. They're too far from the beginning to be excited, too far from the end to be terribly excited. So now they're wise fools. That's what sophomore means, and so I'm just joking. We're thanking God for every one of you, and these are some great young people. God gave us an unbelievable freshman class last year, and these are representations of that. We thank you for coming back. Thank you for working through the summer and getting back with us. We cannot wait to see how God will continue to develop your hearts for the Lord. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Junior class of 2023, would you stand if you would, please? These equally are got to sit with them just for a few moments up in the meeting, and we're very thankful for you, every one of you. We're very grateful that God has brought you and kept you through 2 years of education, and you're in your third year of growing and developing as leaders on this campus and in this ministry. We're very thankful for you, and thank you for your contribution. We can't wait to spend this next year together developing our heart for God and for others. Thank you. May be seated. And then the class of 2022, if you are graduating as seniors this next year, certainly glad for each of you. And what a privileged group we have. Not only these guys standing here, but there is a whole host of people that are catching on, and they are finishing up their degrees this year to graduate with you and to march with you, which we're very grateful. There are many online students who have realized they're just a few classes away from graduating, and they're working to get that done, to be able to stand on the platform of First Baptist Church of Hammond on the 29th of April, 2022, if the Lord lets us do that. You young people are really very valued, and I'm excited you're just on the precipice of stepping out into a lifetime of service, and I thank you for your leadership and your love, and very grateful for every one of you. Let's give our class of 2022 a round of applause. This year, we also have a whole host of graduate students that are here. They finished in 2021 and will be back on campus. Some of them are in internships. Others of them are helping in different venues of our ministry, and I'm very grateful to have them as well, and we appreciate you. Thank you for your leadership in this ministry. I want to speak to you just for a few moments about the heart. I've already given you some opening comments about that. But in Hebrews, the Bible gives us Hebrews to tell us that Jesus is better. It's the only New Testament book that it's anonymous. We do not know who God used to write it. All Scripture is given inspiration of God, and it's profitable to tell us what's right, what's not right, how to get right, how to stay right. We know that to be the case, and we usually know who it is that God uses to pen the words of Scriptures under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. But this particular book, God chose to leave the author anonymous, probably because it was written primarily to Jewish people who had a bent and who were struggling with the old Judaism and its practices under the law, and now this is post-Jesus, most of which had accepted the gift of eternal life, but their life changed very rapidly. They used to go to the temple and would go there on the Day of Atonement and offer a sacrifice of a lamb. They used to sacrifice. Now there's no need for a sacrifice. They used to go, and their pastor was a priest who had to intercede for them to God for their sins. And he had a linen ephod, and he was dressed to the hilt, everything spotless white. And he would go and intercede for them as their high priest to God because they needed that. But now they have a better high priest. Same one you have, same one I have. There's only one God and one mediator between God and man. The man Christ Jesus. Jesus is now. We have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. He didn't have sin. And that priest had to do it every day, sacrifice again. Now Jesus is one and done. It's over. He did it once to pay for our sins. But they kind of miss that. They kind of missed the fuzzy-wuzzy feelings they had when they went and saw him. But now the man that's preaching is like a fisherman, like Peter and James and John and Matthew, a former IRS tax collector. It was just regular guys in regular clothes, and yet they had been with Jesus, and they're teaching them new doctrines and the apostles' doctrines after what Jesus taught them. And They knew there was something to that truth. That's why they got saved. That's why they got baptized. But it was challenging to their tradition, to their system. They started asking questions in their mind, and to add to all of the feelings they had persecution. Whenever they came home with a wet head, they said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, you know, it's just a wonderful thing. I got saved, and then I got you got baptized. You're with these people of the way? These people that are introducing you to this crackpot Messiah? If you want to believe that, that's fine, but you're not living here." Boy, widows were put out on the street. Kids were disinherited from their families. Wives were taken to divorce court and given a bill of divorcement because they had gotten saved. Husbands and wives had great things, and in-laws were pressuring them out of their home and shunning them and getting them away, and the pressure was unbelievable. And so God in his wisdom laid on the heart of some man who knew the Jewish mind. He knew what was going on to tell them, "Listen, I know it's difficult. I know what you've been through. I know that you were looking to Messiah, but the Messiah came and life is different. And he is better. He's better than the old covenant. He's a better high priest. He's better than Abraham and Moses. He's better than the law. He's a better sacrifice. He's one and finished. The blood of bull and goats cannot forgive sin." Then he goes on to tell them, "Listen, if you believe that Jesus is better, you join a great cloud of witnesses. Abel, who showed better worship. Noah showed better work. Enoch, who showed a better walk. Abraham and Sarah, who left the Ur of the Chaldees, and Isaac and Jacob, who followed their example and went on a lifetime camping trip." And every time someone asked them, "What are you doing out here?" they would say, "The Lord told us to." And they were looking for a city whose builder and maker was God, and many people had been delivered out of unbelievable hurts, and other people died, being sawed in half and having their children ripped out of their arms and thrown into rivers and lakes and fires. But all of them did it because they believed that Jesus was better. Amen. Then in chapter 12, he'll tell them now, they're all in the grandstand. You got a fan base. You got people watching you, and they're cheering you on. You got people on earth that are watching you. You got folks that are looking at you, and they're saying, "Hey, come on, man. Keep running. And run light so you can run right. And lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset you. And run with patience the race that is set before you." He tells them, keep your eye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make Jesus your focus. I thank God for Christian leaders, and we should follow them as they follow Christ. But always keep your eyes on Jesus. So many people use the cheap excuse that they quit serving Christ because of another person. Well, that person didn't die for your sins. He led you. If they fall or she falls or disappoints you or puts someone on Facebook that hurts your feelings or takes a different stance on different things, keep your eyes on Jesus. He's the author. He's the finisher. You got a race, and you're not a race against me. I'm not a race against you. And he challenges them to run your race and continue and fight the fight and keep your focus right and love your Heavenly Father who sometimes will chasten you. Don't get mad with God. Then stay in your lane. Follow peace with all men, without which no man can see the Lord. And then watch out for that root of bitterness that grows across your path. All of us have it. And watch it. Be diligent about that. If it comes across, deal with it quickly. Don't let it spring up and go under your life for weeks and months and years and decades like many people have done. And you can, if you think for a moment, you'll probably think of someone who's got a bitter root that's been there so long, it's very hard to get rid of. It's a good time to pull out a root when it's really small. Deal with it quick. Then he tells them in chapter 13, man, here's your final exam. If Jesus is better, then love the brethren. If Jesus is better, entertain strangers. Be hospitable. If Jesus is better, go minister to other people. If Jesus is better, live a pure life. It's in context where it says that marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. If Jesus is better, then let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things you have, knowing this, that God will never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen. That's right.
Don't be chasing this world. Don't chase the shadows of this world. Be content with the fact that if you have God, you got all you need. Pray for other people. Offer to God the sacrifices of praise continually. Be a faithful witness. Submit yourself to the spiritual leader. That's where he says to honor men of God and women of God who are your spiritual leaders, and submit yourself, because they watch for your souls, the days that must give an account, that they can do it without joy, without grief, and they can do it with joy when you stand before them. Learn to submit. But in chapter 10, before he gets into that, he just gives us some quick advice here, and he says, listen, if you're going to run right, you've got to draw near to God with a pure heart. Your heart's got to be right. Someone said the heart of education is the education of your heart. Here at Howells Anderson College, any place worth their salt in training young people, we got to get to the heart. That's why we sing. That's why you have preaching every day. That's why we have a chapel. That's why we bring in guests at the expense of tens and thousands of dollars every year to fly them from all over the world to preach here. Because we're not just preaching to the head, we're preaching to the heart. If there's no change in the heart, we don't have a real change. There's a couple things about the heart I want to share with you quickly, and I want you to look, if you would please, in verse number 22, beginning there, let us draw near with a what? True heart. I want you to notice, number one, I want to encourage you, your heart needs to be close to the Lord. James chapter 4 and verse number 8, the Bible reminds us, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Draw close to the Lord. Getting close to him is where the light is, and it will expose some blemishes and challenges and dirt in our own heart. But boy, draw near to the Lord. I think it'd be very wise for all of us to look to good leaders and learn from them. But don't chase leaders at the expense of missing the Lord. You draw near to God. That's your faith. Your walk with God is the most important thing about you. Draw near to him. Have a heart that's close to the heart of the Lord. And that's not rocket science. I think it's great. I think all of us ought to have a time with God. I think all of us ought to have a prayer time. But all of us ought to have a prayer life. You ought to walk with God from start to finish. I opened my eyes this morning at about 5:45, and I said, Lord, help me today. Amen. Thank you for letting me get some rest. Thank you for the great day yesterday. Help me today. Need your help. Well, I can talk with him, and you can do that.
Right.
He beckons us evening and morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. He'll hear your voice. Before you go to bed at night, talk to him. In the morning, in the afternoon, you're walking to lunch today. As you go down to get your picture taken, say, Lord, just help me today. Help me have my head screwed on right. Help me to think right. Help me not to be a critical. Speak to my heart. Help me. Help me draw close. You know, one thing I love about the fear of the Lord, the Bible says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. You know how you learn to hear a secret? You have to be close to someone. I could tell Dr. Young a secret. Turn my microphone off and I can tell him a secret. But I can't tell Brother Stubblefield's secret. It's too far away from me. You get up to close and what's going to happen? God's going to start talking to you while you're talking to him. So I say, number one, let your heart be close to the Lord. Decide, you know what? And by the way, you can be as close to God as you want to be. It's a choice. The walk with God's a choice. He's not very far from any one of us. He doesn't want to be far from you. He wants to be right close to you. He wants to know the fear of the Lord. Say, well, Master, I didn't come from a Christian home. You can be as close to God as anybody in this room.
Right.
Well, you know, I went to public school. You can be as close to God as anybody went to a Christian school. You can be even closer if you want to be. I don't even have a dad in my life. My dad's not even been instructing me. You can be close to God. When your father and mother forsake you, then the Lord will pick you up. Maybe things aren't been right. Well, Pastor, I've got some failures in my past. I'm nervous about my past. Listen, you can't steer straight, look in the rearview mirror.
Right.
But you can get God in your driver's seat and sit over close to him. Be close to him. Get your heart close to the Lord. Give me another thought real quickly. And the next thing I want you to know, he says, draw near. Verse number 22, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Our time is going, but I want you to notice, number two, first, have a close heart to God. You can be as close to God as you want to be. Number two, have a confident heart the full assurance of faith. Good. Listen, man, girls, guys, all of us, our faith is the most important thing about us.
Right.
What comes to our mind when we think about God? Does he love you? Is he in your corner? Does he care about you? Good. When you're convinced that you're made by God, you're known by God, he loves you, he's got your interest at best, is what he's thinking about, you can trust a God like that.
Amen.
The reason people don't serve him is because they don't trust him. Some of us, we have a lot of fear going on right now. It's natural. I don't think it's wrong to be afraid. I think it's wrong to stay that way.
Right.
I don't think it's wrong to be discouraged. I think it's wrong to stay that way. Because you have a God bigger than you.
Amen. That's
and
right.
He loves you. He's in your corner. He loves right. you. He cares about you. And that heart needs to be confident that I don't have to impress anyone else. I need to know God.
Amen.
Someone told
Amen.
Me sometime about 3 years ago, I heard the statement, and it's helped me a little bit. I have nothing to prove, and I have one person to please.
Amen.
I want to be good to everybody, but the truth of the matter is, if I please the Lord, I'll make even my enemies to be at peace with me. Things will happen by much better if I just seek to please him. We want the attention of other people. We need the attention of God.
Amen.
Because everything rises and falls upon your faith in him. He said, I want you to have a heart that is close to God. I want you to have a heart that is confident in God. Then he said, I want you to have a heart that's clean. Your conscience needs to be clean and your body needs to be clean. I'd be whistling the wind if I thought that everybody in here came in here to Howells Interest College clean. And some of us were getting a little bit cleaner, but we're not clean. We still got filth on our phone. We still got music on our Pandora. We're still trying to hold on to a relationship, and there are things being said and being shown on our text and our emails and our social media that should never even be spoken of, the things done in secret. Young people, you're whistling the wind if you think you can please the Lord and keep that kind of filth in your mind. He says, let's get our conscience clean. Let's get our body clean. We live in a world of perversion. It's sick. It's sick. I was looking at a news feed the other day, and then it shot a picture up. And I don't watch it too much, but it says, for mature eyes only. That is a big lie. Nobody is mature enough to look at perversion.
Right. That's right.
You don't have to be mature. You have to be an idiot to do that.
Right.
Immorality is fun for a second, and it's regret for a lifetime. Purity is always powerful. It's good. It's right. It shows you're mature. Young people in this room right now, you cannot be one and close to God until you're two with sin. I don't know what sin you're looking at. I don't know what sin you're dealing with. But if it is not godly, get rid of it. Admit it. Quit it. You got a problem? Let's go through the juggler with it. Don't play with sin. Sin will play with you. Your heart. That's why the Word of God tells us, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly, John 10:10. You want to have a good life? I want you to have a good life. Anybody who loves you wants you to have a good life. Let me tell you something that'll complicate that real quick. Sin. I want you to have a sweet marriage. I've counseled enough marriages to know that little sins don't stay little. And cleanliness is a daily responsibility. If you don't take a bath every day, you'll start stinking and people start avoiding you like a bubonic plague. You'll get sick. You'll sicken other people. The Bible says, let's clean our conscience. Let's clean our bodies. Not just with good hygiene, but it's talking about moral purity. It's talking about mental purity. It's talking about motivational purity. What kind of heart do you have? Do you have a heart that wants to be close to the Lord? You can be as close to God as you want to be, and it's a game changer. Have a heart that's confident in God. By the way, when you go through a difficult time, you get a little homesick, a little nervous, overwhelmed. At what time I am afraid, what does it say? I will trust in thee. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul, O my God? I trust in thee. I will trust and not be afraid. Take the fears that you have and turn them into faith in God.
Right.
Because you got one throne room, and you're either going to have fear or faith there. When you have faith, fear has to leave. When you have fear, faith is gone. The faith develops through a relationship with the Word of God, with the Holy Spirit of God, and obedience. Faith is trusting God enough to obey Him. Have a heart that's close. I would encourage you to have a heart that's confident, not in this system, not in Hiles Anderson College, not in First Baptist Church, not in a pastor or anyone else, but in God. Empires, institutions come and go. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you can trust Him. Have a confidence. And then have a heart that is clean. If you're struggling in that area, God is ready to receive you. He'll take your sin and give you a sanctified life. Some things we want to do to help you. You'll never be powerfully used of God until you're pure. And I want to encourage you to do that. And if you're not clean this morning, you find yourself picking up some baggage over the summer. I looked into the eyes of a precious young lady recently, and she said, "Pastor, I had too much liberty this summer. I didn't destroy my life, but I got out of whack. Man, I went days without reading my Bible. I went days without really cognizant. I showed up for church." She said, "Pastor, I feel so bad. I want to serve God. I want the Lord to use me." You know what she needs? She needs a clean up. She's a clean heart. She's a confident heart. She's a heart that's close to God. You get close to God, you'll say no to sin. You overcome evil with good. You get close to the Lord. You say a big yes to Him. It's easy to say a little no to other stupid things. You got a problem with video games. You got a problem with music. You got a problem with movies. One of the things that we're doing this year is I don't want any movies to be played in our dorms, on your phones. There's just not enough good movies out there for that. And I don't want young people that are committed to Christ to fill their head and their eyes and their ears, that kind of innuendos and sickness. I just think if you get out of college and you think that's important for you, then you'll be on your own. But why here? I don't want your roommates having you here. I walked down the hallway one day and heard someone watching a movie, or I hear things I don't want to hear, and I don't even know who's in the other side. So this is ridiculous. What's going on? But I want your heart to be clean. I want your conscience to be clean. I want your body to be clean. If something's not right, somebody needs to stand up and say, "Hey, listen, you're dating one another, and that's a wonderful season of life. Make sure you're pure." Amen. If you care enough about that other person, you'll want to give them the best. Right. You want to be able to stand face to face one day. If you're going to marry that person, give them a clean vessel and someone who's protected each other. Be clean. Be confident. Be close in your heart to the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you that we can look to you and help you, be helped by you, and Lord, even be partners with you, work in hearts. Let's stand together. I think this would be a good time to dedicate our year to the Lord. First Chapel, 2021-22. While the piano plays, if you can't get to the front, you want to kneel at your seat, you want to stand there, that's fine. I would encourage you to dedicate yourself to the Lord. Ask yourself, am I close? Am I confident? Am I clean? Good night in the morning, young people. This is Big League. Too much has been invested. God loves you. He loves your mom and dad. He loves your future. Is your heart clean? You know that. God knows that. Ask God to help you. Are you close? Is your faith real? Let us draw near the true heart, full assurance of faith, having our conscience and our bodies clean. You're a wonderful, wonderful group. Thank you for listening so attentively. Thank you for responding. We'll pray together. I don't want to rush, but I feel like got things to do this afternoon. Each of you, stay right where you are, just if you don't mind, just for a second. Wherever you're kneeling or you're here at the front. If you're talking, Lord, please forgive me for interrupting you. If you're not right now, would you pray for somebody? Pray that God would help us to draw close. Pray that God would help us to be confident and to be clean. The greatest gift you can give those around you, your future. Father, thank you for the joy of being a part of chapel today. Thank you for our guests who are here. Thank you for our wonderful students. I'm so proud of them. Just in the way they listen on this first day is absolutely off the charts. I pray you'd bless every chapel message, every song, every decision, the quietness of the moments we do in our dorm room. Help us with our study habits, our friends, our ministry. Help those who are going to across the way in just a moment and meet with employers who are looking for help. I pray that you would get the right person to the right employer to help them in their work. Thank you, Lord, that there is plenteous of work available. Help us to be diligent, loving, gracious. You're a great God. Help us to draw near, get close, and be confident, clean in our hearts towards you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much.